Welcome to the Sliders and Curveballs podcast. My name is Mike, and I'm here with my son, Joseph.
Together, we are learning sports one game at a time.
Mike, first goal was to arrive alive, have fun, and go races. And this is the crew chief, Renee.
See the May?
Say hey.
Hey.
Say, have a good time at the race.
Have a good time at the race.
Hey, what's your name?
What's your name?
No, what's your name?
What's your name?
No, what is your name?
Ethan.
And how old are you?
Two.
You're 2 years old.
No, three.
Say, how old are you? 3 years old?
You are.
Say, have a great time at the Daytona 500.
Have a good day.
And what are you holding there?
Look at this robot.
Robots. All right, Liz.
Sorry.
That's okay. What do you
have fun at the Daytona race. Let's see what lap the big crash happens.
No big crashes, hopefully. And how about my spotter?
Have fun at the race. Tell me all about it.
This is Maria. After your last lap, I'll see you at Victory Lane.
Hello. Have fun. Enjoy that race. Don't get too tipsy. And be careful with them flying wheels.
Wait, Dad. Mom just told us that the Rock is the Grand Marshal for the race. Tell him I say hi.
Welcome to the show, sports fans. This is Mike, and only Mike. Thank you, Renee, and my co-host, Joseph. Thank you to my pit crew and my family. It is about 9:30 at night here in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We're on the final day or two of a weeks-long vacation for a spring break, and it is Sunday evening, and tomorrow morning, I've decided to take a two-hour ride north with my nephew, Ricky, to go check out the Daytona 500. Now, normally, I would podcast, of course, with Joseph. But in this particular occasion, leaving at 8 in the morning, probably going to hundreds of thousands of people in a rowdy crowd for a 14-hour day, 2 hours up, 2 hours back, 3 o'clock race, that's about 3 or 4 hours long. It's probably going to be a pretty long day. So it's interesting. This is normally a race that would take place and finish on a Sunday. And when I woke up this morning in our hotel, we were kind of watching the highlights because Joseph fell asleep a little bit early yesterday watching NBA All-Star Saturday night, and he missed the dunk competition. They mentioned that the Daytona 500 was finishing this weekend, but it was going to be postponed, which is very rare due to rain all day today. And in fact, it has been raining for the last 12 hours, that it would actually be rescheduled for Monday. So we decided to go ahead and say, hey, what are we doing on Monday? My wife's getting together with her sister and some of the little ones. And I said, you know what? If the opportunity presents itself and we can find some tickets to this event that has been sold out since November, then I would see if I could make the journey. I've never been. I'm not a huge race fan, but I love events. If it was the World Championships of tennis, darts, the Olympics, the National Convention for the Rubik's Cubers of the world, I probably would go because I love places that have great energy and great passion for sports and competition. So throughout all the years that I lived in Florida, I knew that Daytona was always special, but it was always on a busy weekend for me because it's always right around my anniversary. I'll be married 25 years on Tuesday, the day that we fly back to Connecticut. So he said, let's go for it. And I'm looking forward to it. We'll wake up in the morning, and I'm going to bring you sounds from race day. And then also, Joseph will get a chance to experience what's it like? What's NASCAR like? What is this big Super Bowl of NASCAR racing like for a day out on the track? And he can experience it when it took me 51 years to get there. So I had to do a little bit of research. Who are some of the drivers? Who should I root for? What are some of the terms? How long is this race going to be? And had to get on Wikipedia, find out a little bit more so I can be a little bit more knowledgeable about it. And I'm going to share that information with you. Once again, this is an audio diary for me, for my family, for my fans. And if you're into it and you like sports and learning and history like we do, then keep on listening. Very cool. You ever been to the Daytona 500? I'm going to take you there. And Joseph too. Stay tuned. So thank you again for listening. And as I mentioned, we only have the slider today, not the curveball. The curveball is for you. There's no Joseph today. He's actually going to be my number one fan, my first listen. And he has always been the first person that I wanted to have listen to this podcast. Many years down the road, when he has children. So he can say, hey, look at all the things that my dad did. Look at all the things that my dad did with me. And these are some of the things that I want to do in the future. So I'm going to go with my nephew, and hopefully he'll listen when he has children. Ricky, I can't wait to spend the day with you. We're going to drive on up in your red pickup truck and go check out the Daytona 500. You've never been. I've never been. Why not? Let's go see. Now, let's take a little look around here. Just going to open up my Wikipedia. Basically, this race serves as the final event of Speed Week, also known as the Great American Race or the Super Bowl of stock car racing. I'm reading here. Since its inception, the race has been held, as I mentioned, right around my anniversary. So mid to late February from 1971, which was the year I was born, to 2011. And again, since 2018, the event has been associated with President's Day weekend, which we are on. Tomorrow is President's Day. Taking place on the third Sunday of February since 2022. It was held on the same day as the NBA All-Star Game, which is tonight. Joseph's upstairs watching it. It's also been held a week after Super Bowl weekend. We know that the Chiefs repeated last week. And actually on 8 occasions, the race has been held on Valentine's Day. Since 1997, the winner of the Daytona 500 has been presented with the Harley J. Earl Trophy in Victory Lane, and the winning car is displayed in race-winning condition for 1 year at the Daytona 500 Experience, which is a museum and gallery adjacent to the Daytona International Speedway. So all the restaurants, all the people, all the shops, all the memorabilia, all the cool collectibles, pubs, race fans with all the numbers that they've enjoyed over the years for the people that they've rooted for, race fans of all ages. Hopefully on a much sunnier day, it's supposed to be around 60 tomorrow. We have pretty good seats in the 300 section. I did a little bit of research. We're going to be sitting around the pit exit, I believe turn number one. So hopefully we can see the track and it pretty well as an entire view, and also how the race is going to end, and it should be very cool. Now, additionally, had to learn a little bit more about this race. It's basically a big circle. It's got four turns. The race is 200 laps. So they're going to go around this 200 times. But it's going to be broken into three stages. So stage one has 65 laps. Stage two, another 65 laps. And then stage three finishes with 70 laps. Can you imagine being in this tight, hot suit, listening to the pit crew as you're driving and the gears are shifting and it's rumbling and you're sweating and you got the headset on? You're driving 190 to 200 miles an hour within 1 inch of 39 other drivers, shifting, jockeying for position. The hand-eye coordination as your hands are trembling and you're going through the heat coming through the windshield as you're trying to figure out how you're going to manage to stay in this race. You don't want to get out to an early lead. I mean, you still have 190 laps to go. What's it going to be like as you get to closing in on the final 50, the final 40, the final 30 laps? That's going to have to be exciting. I'm sure the crowd is going to be at a fever pitch. Now, what is 200 laps like? It's 2.5 miles. Daytona International Speedway is a 2.5-mile track that they're going to go around 200 times for a total of 500 miles. That's why it's called the Daytona 500. And normally that takes about 3 hours. So I'm not sure how much of a break there is between each of the stages or what kind of a break there'll be for a yellow flag or some sort of a crash or something that they have to tidy up on the track. That might make a caution flag happen where everybody has to maintain their position, what position they were in. If you were car number 10, you stay in 10th place until they can go ahead and start to run again. So there's all these rules that I'll have to learn, but then the race will begin again and they'll continue and they're going to hopefully turn out a winner. And then we'll hopefully head on home and, you know, maybe get home before midnight. Now, a little bit of trivia. How many race fans are out there that listen to the show? We're primarily, as you know, MLB, NBA, a lot of UConn. But we also do a lot of sports history. And there's going to be some really cool sports history coming up in some future shows here in season 6. Some unexpected things that you'll love, including us getting involved for a second time with the Northeast Sports Card Expo as hosts this coming May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. You never know what stars and stories we're going to bring to you as hosts of that incredible card show out in Stamford. This year, it's going to be at the Chelsea Pier, which is an incredible sports complex. Everything from pickleball to baseball to rock climbing. Designed after the New York Chelsea Pier. And we thank George Pep for inviting us to host again on day one for the Stamford show. Take a look into that for tickets. But a little bit of trivia for you. For the Daytona 500, which originally started on some sand by the beach and track. Who has won the Daytona 500 the most times as a driver? And which car manufacturer has won the Daytona 500 the most? Now, keep in mind, the Daytona 500 is regarded as the most important and prestigious race on the NASCAR calendar, carrying by far the largest payout or purse for the drivers and the winning team. Championship points are awarded to that going towards the NASCAR Cup Series race. Now, we were talking a little bit about the rain and the weather. They actually have this really unique system, although it wouldn't have worked today. You know, the tires that stock cars use, they don't have treads like your normal tire that you drive with. So there's nothing to grip the track. So if the conditions are even a little bit slippery, it could mean disaster. It's the same reason why high-speed roller coasters won't run even if it's just drizzling a little bit. The slightest slip could be a real catastrophe. But in the event that there was some rain earlier in the day, how long does it take to dry the track at the Daytona 500? Well, they have this system, and it depends on a number of different factors, but I read that they could actually deal with the track with this system called the Air Titan. And it can drive the 2.5 mile track at Daytona International Speedway in anywhere from about 90 minutes to 150 minutes. So a little over an hour and a half to 2 hours in decent conditions, depending on, you know, humidity and cloud cover. And can you imagine being able to dry an entire 2.5 mile track with this blowing type system? Could be done in as little as an hour in some cases, which is pretty amazing. But if it's going to rain for 12 hours, you have just no chance. And then that gave us our chance to be able to go check out the incredible racing for tomorrow. So I'll give you a minute to think about our trivia question. Which driver has won the Daytona 500 the most times? And then which car manufacturer has done it the most times? I'm sure all the T-shirts that are going to be worn tomorrow, they're all going to be rocking their favorite manufacturer, right? And we've heard all the famous sayings over the year, you know, Ford's the best, and or are they forgotten off-road drivers? You know, is Chevy great? Is it Toyota? You know, which car company gets it done the most? Which one gets into victory lane? So going back to the trivia question, how many of you guessed it correctly? 7 wins for Mr. Richard Petty. If you remember, he always had that black cowboy hat with the nice feathers on the side and those dark black glasses. Most wins by a team was Petty Enterprises with 9. Richard Petty personally won 7 times. And the most wins by manufacturer, Chevrolet, has won it 25 times. Now, this track has so much history. In 1998, Dale Earnhardt, that would be senior, finally won the Daytona 500 after 20 years of trying, 20 years of frustration. I mean, he even hit a seagull once. Earnhardt was usually a strong competitor in the Daytona 500, but whether it was mechanical problems, crashes, or other misfortunes, he had never won. So he finally wins in 1998. Now, just a few years later, in 2001, it was known as Black Sunday, or the darkest day in NASCAR history, because Dale Earnhardt died at Daytona in a crash on the final lap. Michael Waltrip and Dale Earnhardt Jr. were running first and second on that final lap, while Earnhardt Sr. was in third. And then on turn 4, Earnhardt lost control after making contact with Sterling Marlin and crashed into the outside wall. Earnhardt Sr. had suffered a fatal skull fracture and ended up passing away. The death overshadowed Waltrip's first win, which came in his 463rd Cup Series race. In 2004, Dale Earnhardt Jr. won his first Daytona 500 in his 5th attempt, and that's 6 years after his father accomplished the feat, after he had tried 20 times. Fast forward 20 years later, 2024, and it's the 66th Daytona 500, the first one that's ever going to have a doubleheader, because they're going to run the Xfinity Cup Series around 11 a.m., which I believe that we could go to if we get there a little bit early. And then the actual 500 will be at 4 p.m., the 20-year anniversary of Earnhardt Jr. So this track has got history. It's unforgiving. You could go here and it's the last time you ever do your sport again. It's dangerous. But these competitors, this is their lifestyle. They've been racing since they were little kids, probably in go-karts. It's in their blood. It's in their family, their tradition. And the fans of this sport are passionate. They love it. They watch it weekly on television, just like my dad used to watch the PGA tournament, or people watch bowling, or people watch baseball, football every Sunday, the NCAA tournament and college basketball, the UFC, etc. So we can't wait. Time to go up and watch the second half of the NBA All-Star game, then get some shut-eye. Tomorrow morning, the alarm clock goes off early, and we head up north to Daytona Beach. It will let you know what we see and what it's like at the Daytona 500. Please join us on the Sliders and Curveballs podcast. Solo mission. There's only one man in this car, plus my sidekick, my nephew. He's going to do the driving. I'll do the talking. It's best that way. Stay tuned. Ricky, we finally made it to Daytona, and what was our first stop here? I don't even know exactly what I just saw, but where is it that you just took me?
So we just were at Bucky's. Bucky's, if you don't know, is a place where you can find plenty of treasures. You can find things ranging from food to beef jerky to barbecue to cow skin rugs for your home, along with other home goods. Also, they have 50-plus gas pumps, and they're always busy.
Yeah, this place is insane. The woman at the register actually just told us that due to rain this morning, that the Xfinity race that was supposed to happen at 11 a.m. actually has been flipped. That's not going to happen until 9 p.m. now. So our race, which is the Daytona 500, is still going to happen at 4 o'clock. Now, it is 11:30 in the morning. We're here in Daytona. We're about 85 miles south of Jacksonville, really down the road from Cape Canaveral. We're going to try to go to a pretty cool restaurant where racing on the beach first started. The North Turn, I think it's called. We might even see if we could take Ricky's pickup truck on the beach if they'll let that happen today. We just pounded a couple of brisket and pulled pork sandwiches. We got some hot cashews and some Bucky's chips. And this place is insane. I almost don't know how to describe it. It's as huge as a Walmart. As Ricky said, 50 gas pumps out in front, but they don't allow trucks here. So it's just for cars and RVs. It's kind of like if 7-Eleven got married to Walmart, got married to Home Goods, and then they brought along their sister
and opened up a barbecue stand.
That opened up a barbecue stand and then brought in the Durham and the Berlin Fair. So if you want to get 200 types of beef jerky and you need to get, you know, a cookie jar for grandma, but you also want to go ahead and get a brisket sandwich, some cigarettes, you need to get some cashews, some lottery tickets. Oh, and by the way, you need to get an end table, bearskin rug, gas, and, a sweatshirt and 15 pounds of coleslaw. You came to the right place. And the lunch was delicious. So on to our next adventure, and the sun has come out. It's starting to feel hot. We're in Daytona Beach. No better place. Well, I'm guessing that you could hear the wind whipping and the waves and the seagulls right behind me because we are on the beach, Daytona Beach, just south of Daytona Boardwalk. Googled it, paid $20. Took Ricky's truck right out on the beach. Never done it before, driving right on the sand. It's fantastic. The sand is really hard and compact, very clean. You can go 10 miles an hour. The surf is beautiful. It's more active than I would say Musquamicket. Gorgeous for pictures, seagulls flying all over the place. Cars, jeeps, people hanging out of the cars. Little kids taking pictures. Fantastic. Listen to the sound. See if I can get us a little closer without a Jeep crushing me like a bug. Everybody's taking pictures. A lot of nice ice curling surf here. This was a great idea by Ricky. Just found out that Daytona opens up at 10 a.m., so I think we're going to go on over to Lot 7 and take a shuttle on over to the Speedway. Can you hear the ocean in the back? That beautiful surf sound coming right up to my sneakers. Really beautiful as the waves curl onto the sand. Daytona Beach, Florida. Now, just north of here, St. Augustine, you got to be going. Apparently, you could drive out on that beach too, but you got to be going a little bit faster than 10 miles an hour, or your car will totally get stuck. But the sand here is really compact, so you can just go nice and slow and drive literally with the water lapping up against your tires for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 miles. Take a bunch of pictures, crack open a cold one on the side of the sand like we're doing, bring a little barbecue pit or your grill, and it's fantastic. All kinds of tiki bars over here. Daytona, we kind of drove around by the convention center. It kind of reminds me of like a combination between a throwback of an old school portion of Orlando, Florida when it first started, like old school hotels, but well kept. Like you'd see, like, remember what the old Howard Johnson's back in the day? Tiki bars, all kinds of racing pubs. Remember, you know, they have Daytona Bike Week down here. That's got to be insane with all the people, you know, everybody going by in their Harleys and their Hogs and partying and all the revelers with the summer. It's got to be fantastic. So we're happy to be a part of it. Biggest sporting event of the year right here, the Daytona 500. As a prop plane just went by with a nice banner for a beach bar and grill. It's for the North Turn. The North Turn is that place that's got all the cool memorabilia. I'm not sure if we're going to get a chance to check that out as a little puppy dog here is chasing birds. Because they say you want to get over there 2 or 3 hours early, because I'm not sure how long it's going to take to shuttle the people on in. You know, there could be 100,000 people here today. Luckily, it is beautiful and sunny right now and a nice cool breeze. But what a thrill to be out on the sand. If you ever get a chance with the kids and you're in the Daytona area or you're going out to Cape Canaveral, take a ride. Take your car. Take your rental car. Come right out on the beach. Beautiful February day. I wish my pit crew was with us. My crew chief, Renee, and my spotter and co-host, Joseph. Hopefully they're over on Hutchinson Island today having a nice fried seafood dinner, and they're going to go play around in the water a little bit. We'll catch up with them tonight. Love you guys. Wish you were here. All right, we're right outside of Section 360. We're here in Daytona. You can hear Pitbull music playing in the background because he just became part owner of one of the racing teams. The Rock is the Grand Marshal. We're overlooking the beautiful American flag, Scanner Rentals, the NASCAR official track merchandise, Hendrick Sports, Trailer, Fox Sports. I gotta tell you, we just went over to the Fox Sports NASCAR booth. $3 Michelob Ultras, $6 cheeseburgers. My goodness, it makes you be shell-shocked when you go over to the XL Center. We could end up spending the night here. I don't know how to describe it. There's been very few times in my life where sporting-wise, I've had my breath taken away. The first time I went to Fenway Park, I think I had my breath taken away. It felt like I had gone to baseball heaven. The old Yankee Stadium, you're just flooded with so many memories. For me, it was curses. It was like seeing a ghost, but you just know it's so filled with history. It's like history washing over you. So we're tooling around. Ricky says, let's go look at the infield. We just go through the tunnel, walk towards the light, if as they say. And then you go out, you see all the colorful chairs. I was choked up. I mean, it's incredible. It is humongous here. It is colorful. The infield is gorgeous. There's RVs and cars everywhere. It is enormous. They have this place working like clockwork. It's like Disney for race fans. No problem on the shuttle. No problem on the parking. No problem getting in. No problem getting beer. We're ready to roll, and it's sunny out. Section 360. I think I'm rooting for Joey Logano. Sounds Italian. He's from Middletown, one town over from us. He's got the pole position. I think that's good. He means he's in the front. I can be a front runner once in a while. I'll admit it. I'm going to jump on the Joey Logano bandwagon. He grew up in just outside of our hometown of Newington. We're ready to see a great day of racing. Pound some beers. We're at the Daytona 500. I wish all of our fans are here with us. Experience life's greatest sports moments on the Sliders and Curveballs podcast. We're so glad you're with us. How about some trivia? Question number one, coming up. Good morning, race fans. This is Mike on the solo driving mission with Ricky. Just stopped off at a rest stop in Titusville, so we're about 1 hour away from Daytona. Still pretty cloudy, but as I take a look at the weather map, it says it's going to rain for about 45 more minutes in Daytona, and then around 11 a.m. through 6, 7 o'clock p.m., it should be full sun. So we probably will get a chance to see those Titan air dryers out on the track today, getting that track nice and dry. Hopefully we'll get a chance to go down by the ocean and maybe get a couple of beers on the water and check out the scene. They could have between 100 and 200,000 fans today. Depends how many people change their plans with the cancellation on Sunday and the postponement of the Daytona 500 to today being President's Day. 4 o'clock for the checkered flag. So we're about an hour away. And what I figured I would do is compile four pit stop questions. Ask four questions throughout the sounds of race day. Probably get a little harder with each question. Are there any race fans out there listening? If not, you can learn a little bit more about a really interesting sport that's quite popular. I'm really excited to go. Really a cool experience that I'm looking forward to. And then we'll give the answers at the very end. Let's start off with pit stop number one. NASCAR only allows this many crew members over the wall in a pit stop. Every member has their hands full trying to change the tires and refuel the vehicle. And they also have to do it in under this many seconds. That's the maximum length that NASCAR will allow. So how many members are allowed to go over the wall to touch the vehicle, and what's the maximum amount of seconds that they allow? This is pit stop question number one. Good luck. The crowd is really starting to fill in. Beautiful Daytona sign on the grass right in front of us. So we're right in front of the pitting area. Just to the left of us would be the finish line. It's really, really breathtaking. The clouds, the sky is beautiful. The place is massive. Fans are coming in. There's going to be 200,000 people here on a beautiful President's Day. We can't wait to see the flyover, see the lights. Come on, and get this race started. It's going to be incredible. It's funny because we're sitting next to a couple really nice guys, one from New Hampshire, one from Memphis. They're telling us a little bit about, you know, because we're rookies. They're telling us a little bit about some of the different drivers that they're rooting for and, you know, asking us how many races we've been to. We're like, well, this is our first one. Well, you picked a good one. And, you know, you got to start somewhere. And we just have appreciation for great things in life. And, you know, This is the filet mignon of race car driving. The Daytona 500. Wouldn't want to be anyplace else right now, today. How'd you do on the first trivia question? Come on, that was an easy one. Pit stop number 2, 3, and 4 is not going to be that easy. United States Air Force Thunderbirds are taxiing down the runway, and they're going to get in the sky, baby. Posting a few pictures on our Facebook page, Twitter, all my closest friends. Wish you were here. Drone view, huh?
That's the front view.
Yeah. Oh, true. So that's the monster car, Riley Herbst. They start at number 40, 40 drivers, come all the way up through number one. Ricky Stenhouse won it last year, right? Some big name drivers right there in 35th and 36th place. Kyle Busch and Ricky Stenhouse, who won last year. Stenhouse drives for Doherty Racing. Doherty is the former NBA player. Top 10 draft pick. He owns a race car team now. Look at that cool Bass Pro Shops club car. Here comes your top five. Elliott in the 5 car, Christopher Bell in the 4 spot, car number 20 for DeWalt. Michael McDowell is in the 2 hole. There you go, Joey Logano out of Middletown, Connecticut. Number 22 in the Pennzoil. We'll have to keep an eye on the yellow and red there, Ricky. One guy was announced maybe around 15 from Berlin, Connecticut. That's like 5 minutes from our house. I think his name might have been Pierce. Incredible. A lot of guys from Connecticut as the fireworks go off in the background. We're about 10 minutes away from getting this race number 66 started. And they want to clear the infield now so all the fans can get off the grass. Incredible.
Also, Daytona brings, right? This is the crown jewel that every driver wants to win. Every driver wants this on his resume.
This is where legends are made right here. We're going to do our best to catch up with the...
Ironically, a lot of rookies win this race. But it's also where your racing career could become cemented as you're one of the best ever.
I kind of want that kid Bill to win. He's good. He's got focus. He's focused on his racing. Bill and Chastain and Elliott.
It's really neat to see the cameras inside the car as you're going down the track. I mean, the banking is incredible here for high speed. What's the banking, Ricky? 31-degree banking. It's going to be like flying around in a rocket for 3 hours. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Who's got the balls to go for 3 hours and then cross the finish line? So much history, and we're going to get to see it today. We're going to bring it to you. They're showing all kinds of highlights, and my goodness, you're just within inches of other drivers. It's so dangerous. Ricky, by the way, just barreled through a hot dog, a hamburger.
Some French fries,
all for under $24. I love the pricing here.
$3 domestic beers, $2 hot dogs, $2 waters, $6 burger and fries. Can't beat that.
Yeah, you can't beat that. One day late, but they got a really pretty day here as the makeup day. So all the fans that extended their trips, paid for an extra hotel night, changed their plans, told their bosses, I'm not going to be in work on Tuesday. the world will continue. Probably about 5 minutes away from seeing The Rock get these drivers started. How about some trivia? Pit question number two coming up. Pit stop question number two, as Ricky changes one of our windshield wiper blades here. Let's take a look at what I got written down. Pit stop question number two. Now, this track is so big, you could actually play an NFL game in the infield of the track. And oftentimes there will be people watching from the inside of the track and even RVs and things like that. Back in 1974, there was a football game played on the track of the field. There's even been some talk that the Speedway could host and be a temporary home for the Jacksonville Jaguars when it does its renovations to its stadium in Jacksonville coming up in 2026. Which is interesting because with The Rock being the Grand Marshal, you know that he's involved with the new football alliance that is the alternate to the NFL. So as he starts to grow his fan base for his combination UFL league, who knows, he could have his eyes set on maybe doing a game here at the famous Speedway. So in question number two of our pit stop, which two teams faced off on November 23rd, 1974, playing football against each other at the Daytona International Speedway? Good luck. Six minutes to start your engines. All the drivers are getting in, getting their gloves on, getting their helmets on. And they're ready to get this thing kicked off. Starting to get a little bit cooler out, but everybody's amped up and ready to go. The flyover was incredible. Smoke coming out the back of those fighters. I snagged a couple of really great pictures. Rock just went on a tour in a military vehicle around the oval. And he's ready to get the command going. Little Van Halen playing in the background, and we're ready to go.
This is the moment you have all been waiting for. Here to get the command of Fire Engines is actor, entrepreneur, founder, and United Football League co-owner, the Grand Marshal for the 66th running of the Daytona 500, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson.
In the proud spirit of America, and in the proud spirit of our great country, finally, The Rock says, drivers, start your engine.
weren't expecting five of those jets to go by. Five more of the military just did it like a wide flower formation right over the top of our heads. Holy smokes. That just rumbled right in our ears. Incredible. Here we go again. Look at that. My goodness. The Thunderbirds are just putting on a show. You can feel it in your chest. It's incredible.
Whoa.
I've been to some Air and Sea shows in Fort Lauderdale too. Once you see one of them, you want to go back a million times. Driving in your cars who are listening to this later in the week, we're literally jumping out of our seats right now. Four Thunderbirds just went flying over right over our heads. My word, welcome to the Daytona 500.
There they are.
Oh my God, did you feel that?
Another one. Comes another.
Incredible. The moon is out. The fans are ready. They're curling around the outside again. They just sneak up on you. They're right on top of you. All 40 cars are lined up. They're showing all the different video promos of all the past winners. We're ready to get this party started. Great job by The Rock. They're coming around, and this thing is going to get ready to get started. Beautiful car is going right by pit row. Should be about one more lap before they get a green flag. You hear the hum of those engines. We'll be putting some earplugs in pretty soon.
Yeah, the reason why they did pit row was just to say, hey fans, this is where we are. Do it.
We got an absolutely fantastic view, section 360. Get it every time. Right in front of pit row, right in front of the infield, dead center. It's like you're sitting on the 50-yard line of a football game, maybe the 40. We got the lap counter right in front of us. You can't get this sitting at home. Now they're on the other side of the oval, directly across from us, about halfway through the track. You can hear some of the pit crews getting ready to rev up their machinery for putting tires on in less than 16 seconds. That's right. Now they're coming around the corner here by turn one. Looks like they're going around one more time. Let's get it, boys. Peels off. Here they come. They're all tight. It's on. Just as a little pack, it's amazing to see the banking. They just go around the corner, one big group. You get to see them all go up on their sides. Race would already be over right now. And they still have hundreds of laps to go. And they're just zipping right in front of us. Here they come again. Listen to this. Drops down to second, and the 34 car takes the first. So I'm getting ready to stand up to take a picture. We're on lap number four. We've already had a bad accident. I mean, it's right in front of us, just past where the word Daytona is on television. The 77 car, and what was the second car, Ricky? The 77 car in the what? And you smell the smoke. Oh, and he just got pushed into the pack and then hit the front end. Smoke everywhere, billowing right in front of your face. The 77 car, and then the Carvana car. The parts out on the track. It's like you're witnessing a car accident right in your own town. The guy's trying to get off the infield right now, getting pulled by a tow truck. Little particles of air everywhere, black smoke all around us. It's like watching a heavyweight boxing fight, but blood gets knocked all over you. So now all the cars are kind of just staying in their position. But these two cars just got whacked badly. And these guys are like I mean, the front wheel is totally jacked. It's not even turning.
Traffic was this way. He went just in the grass and came out. And hit on
very scary situation. He got hit pretty hard. What's 84 is the Carvana car. And the 77 car. I can't make out the one. Wow.
21.
The 21 car. Incredible.
When you see the tire, right,
we got Carson really Huckover and Harrison Burton. But just black smoke, you can smell it. I mean, if you've ever been in a car accident before, you know what that horrible smell like from your engine is with the oil? It just comes right through the crowd. You know that there's a distress right in front of you. And that's a driver, hopefully not hurt, is now out of the race. Looks like car number 21 they just interviewed him is okay, and we start up again after about a 5 minute cleanup of the track for parts and oil. We're on lap number 11. The 20 car, Christopher Bell in the lead. Joey Logano from Middletown, Connecticut, drops down to the 3 spot. Listen to the roar of this coming on by.
Means he's got to go off the track, because that means he's either leaving debris or oil or something going on.
Okay. So they're really tight right now, but as they start to spread out, you're going to hear them start to go by zing, 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 zing. But right now they're in a big tight cluster. Here comes one more pass. Does not do this sport justice. I can't even explain it. Pit stop question number 3. In 1979, for the Daytona 500 race, it was the first time it was televised on live television from beginning to end by CBS Sports. On the final lap of the race, two drivers crashed, battling for the lead. Who were the two drivers? Good luck. Here we go, stage number 3. About 6:45 Eastern time. And they're getting ready to start this up again. About 70 laps to go to decide a winner. Very exciting. It definitely got cold out. Listen to the roar of these engines. Which driver is going to win it? Cars went in the pit to get new tires and gas. so they're ready to go. Really exciting when they're all racing two by two, but then when they go but three by three, there's very little room on the track. There's like a foot away from each car. Sometimes you could barely put a piece of paper between each car. And you just, you know, you're holding your breath like they're going to come around the corner and they're going to crash. Then two laps later, they go one by one. And all of a sudden, they start to separate themselves. So we'll stay with you to the end. The lights are on. The moon is out. And we're going to see where this winner, how this winner does it. Final stage. Here comes the flag. Austin Cindric is in first place, followed by Bubba Wallace. Number three, Tyler Reddick. Number four, Ryan Blaney. Right now, Joey Logano not in the top eight. Let's see what kind of moves they make. Alrighty, in our final pit stop of the day, pit stop number four, to resemble the four turns at the iconic Speedway that we're visiting today. Now, this isn't an easy one. This is for our more advanced fans. Hendrick Motorsports, which is very popular, has earned eight Daytona 500 wins with five different drivers, which is tied with Wood Brothers Racing for the most different drivers for one team that have won the trophy. Name the five drivers that have won and ended up in victory lane that drove for Hendrick Motorsports. It's going to be a very exciting finish. 39 laps to go. They're supposed to pit in a few laps. Hamlin is the leader, followed by LaJoy, Bush, Bell, Gibbs. Logano was just in the top five. Ricky Stenhouse was doing well. Changes every single time down. They go to from three wide to two. Every single time they come by us, there's a new leader. Unbelievable. One time your guy's in 16th place, and then the next thing you know, he's in 5th. They go around again, he's back in 16th. With 38 laps to go, it's anybody's game. Here they come around one more time. Hamlin still in the lead. Nope, now Logano takes the lead. Logano from Middletown, Connecticut's ahead of Hamlin right now. Let's go, Connecticut. We'll see if he can hold on. With eight laps to go, 3x3, seven rows deep. Logano is in third place. The car right to his left swipes right into his rear end, pushes him right into the guardrail. Flames, sparks everywhere. We got about, 10, 12 cars out of this race. Unbelievable. Cars are limping into the pits. Some of them are disabled. And this race is probably going to be extended. Sparks are flying underneath Logano's car. I think he might be out of the race. They're showing it on the replay right now. He got banged against the wall hard. Multi-car wreck with eight laps to go. One driver, one small miscalculation. They're all stacked up with each other like a deck of cards, and the whole house comes down. So they got to clean up the track, and there's probably going to be, 10, 15 cars left that could win. Let's take a look when they get it all sorted out. Great American Race with Ross Chastain in the lead, Chevy. We lost about 15 cars. We got about 30 cars left. Boy, they get around that track fast. Turn four. Oh, are they tight? Single file down the back stretch. Just done with turn four. Oh, they're touching. Here comes another crash. Out of the race, but it didn't affect the front of the pack.
It happened after
the majority of the front of the cars had gotten through. Caution flag comes out. Who did we lose, Ricky? They were all jumbled up, trying to see if they can score that last foot or two. Here's the replay. About three quarters of the way back. One car twists into the grass. Right over the Hard Rock Bet sign. Ooh, you smell that burning rubber? Here they are on the replay here. Actually, it all started with the second and the third car. The second and the third car went out into the grass.
Wow. He's a good kid.
So that's it. That makes that him the champion.
It happened. Since it happened on the white flag, the position that they were in when they came across, it is what it is. He's a good kid, by the way.
Unbelievable. So because number two and number three peeled off, he crosses over and makes it.
It was on the last lap. I don't know all the ins and outs. All I know is, it sucks for Chastain because he had a good day.
Chastain was in the lead, but he just got zipped out.
Bowman and Nouvel.
And your 2024 champion. Is taking a victory lap right now. He's just running it right over the Daytona sign, right through the grass, doing some spins. The number 24 car survives the melee on the final lap. You can hear the fireworks in the background for number 24 in 2024, William Byron, only 26 years old. And he runs for Hendrick Motorsports. Can you believe that? Last time Hendrick Motorsports won was with Dale and Earnhardt Jr. 10 years ago. Fantastic day and night at Daytona. Congratulations to first-time winner, youngster, 26 years old. Car number 24, Chevy, William Byron. Well, thanks, sports fans, for joining us on this journey. Thank you so much, Ricky, for driving us up from Port St. Lucie. I had a fabulous time. Just, you know, it's hard to put into words how special this was. Really amazing bucket list item. Daytona 500, delayed by a day, on a holiday weekend. Saw the start in daylight, finish under the stars and the moon. A rookie wins it, 26 years old, for Hendrick Motorsports. Hendrick hasn't won in 10 years since Dale Earnhardt Jr. wins. A crash on the last lap brings out a caution flag. The second place driver and the third place driver get eliminated. And Byron wins. I'm fixated on the crash more so than the winner. And he swoops on through and crosses the finish line. 40 cars started the race. 25, I think, finished. A lot of wrecks. Luckily, no fatalities. This is a dangerous sport. You don't root for wrecks, but you can't help but just stand up and think, like, my gosh, these cars are like matchbox cars flying through the air, but there are people in there. It's just insane. This sport is insane. You have to have a real set of steel ones to do this for a living. I'm glad I have a desk job.
Just incredible. The place is, you know, I've been to the Belmont before. I've been to the World Series. I've been to the U.S. Open. Almost went to a couple of Super Bowls. Sold the tickets instead. Would love to go to the Masters someday. Would love to go to the Olympics. But this was, you know, it's like, I don't know. Felt like it was 10 times the size of Belmont. The thing was humongous. And it worked like Disney World. I mean, it wasn't much worse to get out of this place than it is the Berlin Fair. Waiting on some shuttles. And then now we're in the car to get back to, we might stop off at Bucky's in case we wanted to get a cuckoo clock or some beef jerky. But maybe a breakfast sandwich on the way home. 2-hour ride back to Port St. Lucie. So listen, stay tuned for your answers to the trivia questions on pit stops numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4. See how you did. I hope you got to enjoy the sounds. I hope you don't drive off the road when the fighter pilots drive on by. They scared us in our seats. Hopefully they're not too loud on the pod. Ricky, did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time. It was a good experience. Great time. Not much other than that I can say about it.
I mean, we were just talking about the prices of the food. I bought Ricky chicken tenders, a French fry. I got a hamburger, a French fry, a hot dog, and a Michelob Light was $18. I mean, you can't spend... I think you can get a beer and... I'm not even sure if you can get a beer and a popcorn at the XL Center for $18, can you? So that was great. Didn't get any merchandise, although I would have preferred a sweatshirt at the end. One of the reasons I didn't bring Joseph, because it was a long day. I mean, we got here, around 11? And it's going to be 11 o'clock at night, so he probably would have been done after stage one, and maybe Renee, too. But that's why they were my co-pilots, my crew pit, and I thank them for letting me get out. And just a major bucket list item that I wanted to attend sporting-wise since I was in college. And having lived 10 years in Miami, never got a chance to really make the trip up this way. And sometimes the best things in life are things you don't plan. Thank you for joining us on the Sliders and Curveballs podcast. We'll see you next time. Luka Doncic game coming up at the TD Garden, which is Joseph's Christmas gift. Very soon, we'll bring you more sounds of the game. Thanks again, Ricky. Love you. Take care. Okay, race fans, I hope that you've been enjoying some of the sounds of race day. And let's hit you with the 4 pit stop trivia answers. So question number 1 was members in a pit stop and also the amount of time NASCAR gives you. Wanted to start you off with a pretty easy slider before we get to the curveballs. So NASCAR only allows 5 crew members over the wall during each stop. And every member has their hands full trying to do something for tires and fuel. Additionally, the maximum length of time is 16 seconds. So if you had 5 members and 16 seconds, you got that dual question correct. Additionally, there are some other tasks that are done. And from what I understand, these tasks can include cleaning the windows, mirrors, giving the driver water or sports drink, removing any debris off of the vehicle, so that way it can function at its top efficiency. Oftentimes, they use these extension poles. One of them is called Mr. Long Arm. Picture it like a pole that you would use if you were painting, with those extensions that twist and telescope out to be able to get to the high parts of the wall, like in a cathedral ceiling that you're trying to paint up towards where the ceiling matches the high part. So they use these 2 or 3 section poles, and they can reach over the wall to get some additional tasks done. So although there's been a tremendous amount of technology in NASCAR, it's funny how they use these long poles to be able to aid the driver to get around the track. So that was answer number one of the pit stop. In question number two, a little bit tougher, what were the two teams that played in the infield of the Daytona International Speedway? It was Bethune-Cookman College versus Florida A&M University Rattlers. And that was November 23rd, 1974. We'll have to see if The Rock gets anything going with football as it relates to this iconic treasure of the middle of Florida that everybody knows. And it would be pretty cool to see a game played in the modern era right on a racetrack or right in the infield grass. I was looking at some old school pictures of football, and even soccer has been played there. Really cool, especially if it was an NFL game. Question number three, who were the two drivers in 1979 that on the final lap got into a crash while it was being televised on CBS? Not only did they get into a crash, but they were so angry at each other that they actually got into a fight. So they get out of the car and they get into a brawl. It was Cale Yarborough and Donnie Allison. And then apparently Donnie's brother jumps into the fold, another driver, Bobby Allison. Track emergency workers had to break up the fight between Cale Yarborough and the two brothers. They were battling for the lead in Daytona, and it was the first televised Daytona experience, and it really drew a lot of fans in. And the last pit stop question, number four, this one's really tough. How many of them did you get correct? Who were the five drivers that have won for Hendrick Motorsports? That would be Jeffrey Bodine, Darrell Waltrip, Jeff Gordon, who won three times, Jimmy Johnson, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. Now, when Waltrip won in 1989, and I love this because I grew up, if you remember, as a Bengals fan, in the era of James Brooks and Boomer Esiason, Anthony Munoz, and the Icky Shuffle. Waltrip, who I guess maybe is from the Cincinnati area, he did the Icky Shuffle, which was a celebration dance, very popular by NFL player Albert Icky Woods. He even spiked his race helmet in the same manner that Woods did his NFL helmet. So those are the four pit stop questions. We thank you so much for listening, and we hope that you've enjoyed the sounds of race day. Joseph, I wish you were with me. It's great to have Ricky here, and very long day here at the racetrack, but a fantastic experience, and I hope that you've enjoyed it along the way. Definitely a must-see for any sports fan. Thank you for listening, as always.